Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create your dream business so you can live the dream lifestyle that you want and deserve. Yes, success is not only possible, you deserve success. And now, welcome the dream business coach, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more good things in any business. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm committed, as always, to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show. Got quite the prolific author as my guest, Tim Cameron Kitchen. And Tim is a best-selling digital marketing author. He's the head ninja at Exposure Ninja, a British digital marketing agency specializing in building and ranking websites. He's the host of the Exposure Ninja Digital Marketing Podcast. Tim's goal is to help business owners capitalize on the untapped potential of their websites and grow their businesses using both free and paid traffic. And he's also a drummer, I just found out. How you doing, Tim?
I'm good, thank you, Jim. Looking forward to it.
You know, I was a drummer in high school, and I remember when I was, I think I was 12 years old, and I had like $125 in the bank, and this is how old I am, but back when I was 12, I think the Monkees were on TV, and man, I wanted to play drums in the worst way, and my parents told me I could not empty my bank account, and I went and did it anyway, and they thought it was going to be the worst mistake in the world, but I taught myself. I played in bands all through high school, so... How about that? Do you play out a lot, or just for fun?
Yeah, no, I play out a fair bit. I used to be a professional drummer. I did that for a few years, and like you say about the empty bank account, I think empty bank accounts and drumming are fairly closely linked, or at least I've found so in my life anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a professional drummer for a few years, and playing for lots of people, doing lots of recording. I still play in a band. Every few weekends, just to keep myself from going rusty. But yeah, still good fun. Absolutely love it. Nothing beats playing live.
Yeah, and you know, my oldest son is 34. He picked up the drums at age 5. I actually put blocks of wood on the pedals, and he picked everything up. And he's in retail and some other things now. He does some producing, but he's always playing live. He said, "I'll be playing live when I'm 70 years old." Just, you know, it never leaves you.
No, exactly. Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's fantastic. Although I think you're very brave to encourage your son to take up drums. I think when I have a son, I'll be encouraging them to take up something a lot quieter.
Yeah. I think it was payback from me playing drums in my parents' basement, but that's the way it goes. Well, I'm excited to interview you. You've got quite a resume. I know you've written a lot of books. Really all about the power of using, you know, online marketing and things like that. You're a big SEO guy. I know you're big in blogging, social media. So let me kind of a broad question. What are some of the ways, you know, the quickest ways businesses can improve their performance on their website?
I mean, everybody has untapped SEO. There's a certain amount of untapped SEO potential on pretty much every site. Some of the quickest ways, you know, just sorting out title tags and meta descriptions. Obviously, the phrase "content is king" is a cliche, but it's there for a reason. A lot of people don't maybe think about how their blog and kind of content and that whole side of things. So I'm sure we can talk a bit more about that. So there's a lot of potential with traffic, and I'm a big fan of SEO because that traffic is then free and it lasts for years. But recently we've been doing a lot around conversion optimization as well, and been amazed at the difference that page layouts can make and the messaging on a particular page. Some people are getting a lot of traffic, but really not generating much business out of it. So there is so much potential for any business. It's just, I think the most common areas are organic traffic and conversion optimization for sure.
I know you wrote a book, Tim, called The Ultimate Guide to Content Marketing and Digital PR. Let's talk about blogging a little bit. You know, whenever people are not blogging because they always say, "Well, I don't have the time, I don't know what to write about," I say, look, if you got to at least be consistent. If you're going to only blog once a week, then blog once a week, right? It's not the whenever I feel the mood strikes me. But let's say time is not an issue and content is not an issue. How many times a week should a average entrepreneur be blogging?
Yes, it's a great question. Before we go into that, I just want to shout out to Charlie and Luke, who actually wrote the majority of that book. They're the digital PR ninjas two of them at Exposure Ninja. So they did a lot of the work, or pretty much all of the work for that book. But you make a really good point about blogging, and it's one of those that even until the start of this year, as a business owner, you know, and talking about SEO, I'm always saying to people, you need to be blogging, you need to be blogging. And yet our blog was, you know, fairly quiet because there's always something better to do, right? There's always stuff which leads directly to money. And as business owners, we're focused on that stuff, or we're playing with Facebook ads, or we're actually serving customers. So I appreciate that writing the blog post tends to fall to the bottom of the list. And then maybe some people, they decide that they're going to start writing some posts, and they do one a week or one every 2 weeks or whatever. They do it for a few weeks and, you know, they don't get the traction that they wanted. They don't notice any new visitors coming in. And in the end, they just decide to kill it because they can't really think about what, you know, they don't know what they should be writing about. They don't know what else they should be doing, and it doesn't seem to be working. So I totally get that. And then at the start of the year, Charlie, who's our head of digital PR, started really kind of nagging me and saying, Tim, we always talk about blogging. We've got this book coming out. We need to be doing our own blogging. So I was like, okay, cool, whatever. So I gave one of our SEO ninjas a copy of the first book and said, just go and take this book and pull out some different topics and make it into some blog posts and stick them up just so, you know, we've got something there. And they did this, and he did a really good job of it. And to my amazement, those blog posts, as we just kept dropping them out, drop every once a week or once every couple of weeks, they started to pick up quite a lot of organic traffic. And we're a fairly reasonably high-profile business. We've got a lot of books. We've got social media. We do webinars, podcasts, and all that sort of stuff. We're at a stage now where more than 50% of our organic traffic is coming in through these blog posts. And this is just amazing to me because this is new traffic which has never heard of us. They've never, you know, so it's really valuable because this is how we get, you know, new business. So that experience completely converted me to the power of blogging. And since then, I'm pleased to say we've been a lot more prolific about it. The question you ask about the ideal frequency, I think we tend to say if you can do once every couple of weeks, then that's great. If you can do once a week, that's even better. That can feel quite intimidating to some people, but it doesn't have to always be you that blogs. At Exposure Ninja, we've got 65 people, and if it was always me who had to do the blogging, there would be like one post every 3 months. Thankfully, these other 65 people are coherent and they're good people, so they can write blog posts too because they're doing the stuff. So so it doesn't just have to be you, but it's great if you can make sure that something is up on your blog every week. If you can't do that, if you're just a solopreneur or whatever, then every couple of weeks is a good place to start. But even more important than the frequency is the quality. So just making sure that every post you write is something that you're really proud of and something which actually genuinely serves a benefit to your audience. We can talk about topic selection and stuff like that later, but yeah. Good place to start is once every couple of weeks or once every week if you've got the manpower.
So, Tim, when you are blogging, and you said, I think in your in our conversation there, you said you get new business directly from the blog. So when you're posting to the blog, I mean, a lot of people understand it keeps the website fresh, the spiders find it because it's fresh content. Is that how they find your website and that leads to business? Or when you post a blog, are you doing a lot of other things to promote that blog post through other forms of social media and things like that?
It's really a combination. Obviously, when you write a blog post, you'll be sharing it out on social media. But I think that the biggest benefit comes from people actually finding that blog post in organic search. So how we choose topics and a kind of really important part of making sure that your blog posts are found is this topic selection thing. So what we suggest to people is when you're writing a blog post, don't just write about the things that you know. Don't just say we're a digital marketing company. So let's say that we're selling SEO. a lot of SEO companies would say why you need to hire an SEO company or five benefits of using an SEO company, something like that. It's totally, you know, generic. It's totally self-centered. And actually, nobody cares about that anyway. That's just writing for the sake of writing. And that's the sort of blog stuff which just, you know, sits there and does nothing. A much better approach is to think, what are the top questions that my market has about this thing that I do? So we love a site called answerthepublic.com, and answerthepublic.com is populated with questions from Google's, you know, when you search for something in Google and it has suggested related searches at the bottom. So Answer the Public will show you all of the questions that people are asking about a particular topic, and there are loads and loads of them, right? Whatever business you are, there are loads of questions, not just about, you know, your main product or service, but auxiliary services as well. So we say when you're going to be writing some blog posts, just write a really detailed post to the most popular questions about your market. So if this is about SEO, we might be writing a blog post called how to find profitable niche keywords, right? Because that's something that people are searching for. And then we'll just write the most complete, most useful, beneficial answer that we possibly can to that question. We'll make it a reasonably long post, so there's some, you know, decent value there. And at the end, say, if you want any help with this keyword research, or if you found this useful and you want to, you know, you want to explore this further, then get in contact with us and there'll be some kind of call to action. So by using that strategy, rather than just, you know, pumping out content for the sake of it without any thought behind it, you can actually start to pick up quite a lot of traffic. We wrote some posts on, for example, how to add apps to a Facebook page. Now, that's a really useful tutorial for someone who's setting up a Facebook page. And if someone's setting up a Facebook page, then the likelihood is that they're starting to do some digital marketing. So that person might be a really good client for us. So, you know, you can sort of you can choose topics which are going to be like a spider's web and attract people that are at the right stage in their journey to do business with you.
So how do you feel about guest blogging? I'm kind of torn on it, actually. I mean, it's content, and if it's good, but isn't the purpose of your website to be promoting you and what you can do, your knowledge and things like that? Or is guest blogging, is it promoting other people? Or, you know, I'm kind of torn on that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it really depends on the guest blogger and what sort of content they're writing. I think you've got to be really selective, because if you say yes to everything, then you're going to get a lot of rubbish on your site that's just there to generate links. So as long as that person has something genuinely valuable to say and they are actually a thought leader in your market, then there's absolutely no reason that you wouldn't want to have those posts on your page. Obviously, you will have edit control, so if they start getting a little bit too pitchy, then you've got to be firm with them and say, you know what, this is here to provide value. This is not here to just to sell your services. So you can include a link in the footer or in the bio, but, you know, that's it. So be selective and you know, don't be afraid to tell these people exactly what you need. Give them as much feedback as you can. But, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it as a strategy for getting good quality content on your site.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. You know, one of your books, I think it's the How to Get on the Top of Google. You know, obviously, SEO, you know, you have a chapter, I think it's called Cheap SEO. For people who don't want to or don't feel they're in a position yet maybe to hire a company like yours, what are some of the things they can do if you know, assuming they have a basic understanding of WordPress and things like that?
The absolute first thing that we say to anyone is to understand the keywords that you want to rank for, right? It sounds so basic. But making sure that you're targeting the phrases which people are actually searching for, that's the first thing, because any content that you write or any titles that you optimize, you're going to be using those keywords because those are the ones you want to get ranked for. Now, one of the mistakes that people make when they're doing keyword research is they'll say, let's say that they sell red shoes, and they think, okay, the keyword that I want to show up for more than anything is red shoes, because I've looked in the Google Keyword Planner and that's told me that more people are searching for this than any other phrase. So red shoes is the one. Well, that's a super, super broad phrase. The people that are going to be searching for that, they might be looking for information about red shoes. They might be looking to make their own red shoes and they want to know how. They might be looking for pictures of red shoes. So whilst that's definitely a phrase which people that are looking to buy red shoes are going to be searching for, it might not be the most efficient one for you to target, because it's going to be the most competitive, so it's going to take longest, it's going to take the most work to rank for that. So the first thing is to identify which phrases people are searching for, have decent search volume, but also have commercial intent. So let's say that I'm targeting red shoes size 9. Well, that's somebody who's looking for red shoes who has a particular size. So there's more commercial intent there, right? That's more likely to be someone who's going to buy. If I search for red shoes free delivery, well, I have a lot of commercial intent. If I search for red ballet shoes free delivery, right, I have loads and loads of commercial intent. Now, that's a longer tail phrase, which means there's going to be less search traffic for that, but I'd rather have 100 of those searches than 500 people who've just searched red shoes if I'm selling red ballet shoes, because they're much more qualified, much more likely to buy. So the first thing is to understand the keywords that you want to be targeting. The quickest way to get ranking improvement of any website is to look at your page titles. So the page titles are, you know, the title tag inside WordPress. So if you're in the WordPress edit window, then it's that main box at the top. Or if you've got the Yoast plugin installed, then you'll see a little title tag box underneath the post. The title tag is the most important SEO real estate on any site. And every page has its own title tag. And this is where you give Google a really clear indication of the phrases that you want to target. Now, in particular importance is the phrase at the start of that title tag. So if I'm targeting red ballet shoes, I want to make sure that my page title starts with red ballet shoes, because that's saying to Google, hey Google, if I could rank for anything, it would be this phrase right at the start. So just doing that across all the pages on your site, making sure that your title tags are optimized to include your keywords at the start of the page title, just doing that will usually get people a bump in ranking. So it's one of the first things that we work on if we're working with a client, because it gets them some nice movement straight away. So if people don't do anything else, but they just do that one thing, it's a really, really good start.
Excellent. I'm gonna bounce around a little bit while I got you, because you're kind of an authority in a lot of areas. So you got another book. It's called Profitable Social Media Marketing, which I think is interesting, because a lot of people think there's no profit in social media. It's busy work. But well, let me ask you. Let me start there. Profitable social media. Can somebody really be profitable with social media, or is it just more of a positioning tool? What do you think?
I think we have to go at it from an angle that it has to make us money. Any marketing tool has to be there to generate money, right? I know that, you know, there's some very popular social media authorities that say, don't think of social media in terms of ROI. To me, that's a bit of a cop-out, because as small business owners, people don't have a lot of cash to just blow around on, you know, massive positioning like someone Coca-Cola, Starbucks, or whoever has. So I think we need to be quite specific about our social media. It can definitely be profitable. I think the key is that you need to go in, just like with your blog, you're writing your social posts, you're sharing your social posts, not just to get noticed and to get attention, but to cultivate an audience of highly qualified potential buyers. So social is a content distribution just like your email list. So if we think of it in a similar kind of way, you're posting stuff which is going to be interesting to people and is going to be helpful and useful and move them closer to their goals. And then every so often you give them a pitch, right? That's, you know, it's just common sense. The most important thing is to make sure that you've got your target customer in mind right at the start, and that everything you post on your social pages is quite finely tuned to move that person closer to their goals. So a lot of people will just, you know, I've got my social page, I've noticed that if I post cat memes, that gets me a lot of attention and likes, comments, shares, and that sort of stuff. And that's how they measure their success with social, is the kind of engagement and how quickly my audience is building. That stuff is indicative, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is having a look inside your analytics. How much traffic are you getting from social? How many conversions are you getting? How valuable are those visitors? You know, all of that stuff. So social can definitely be profitable. I think just to say, you know, there's no ROI in it, it's nice and easy, and a lot of gurus can do that because it kind of takes the pressure off, but I think we've got to be absolutely strict with it.
I agree with you. I mean, if you're not spending money, you're spending time, and that is spending money. So I'm in complete agreement with you.
Exactly. In a lot of cases, it's worse. It's more expensive to spend time rather than money.
Exactly. What are some ways that people can grow their following and, you know, their how to build community or tribe, whatever the most current phrase is? How do people do that on social media? Because it seems to me Facebook changes constantly and, you know, there's all kinds of things happening where your stuff's not being seen anymore. At least you think it's not being seen. What are some of the ways they can increase engagement?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think Facebook in particular is pay to play for businesses now. We have to accept that organic reach is going to be low. If we rely purely on organic reach, then like you say, the Facebook's algorithm is just going to keep reducing our visibility. It is possible to get a certain amount of viral reach, but if you pay to boost your posts on Facebook, the good news is it doesn't cost a huge amount. So how I would look at increasing reach, again, we go back to what sort of things are our audience really keen to do? What are their problem areas? What's their goals? How can we move them closer to their goals with some information? So let's say that we write a blog post which helps our audience get closer to their goals. We might then write a summary of that post in a Facebook post and link to the blog post, and then we might sponsor that post to go out to people who we've identified are a lookalike audience for our website visitors, or a lookalike audience for our Facebook page, or have some sort of characteristics and interests which we've identified are typical of our perfect target customer. So if we're boosting that post to show to these guys, we're not going in with the goal of selling them anything immediately, right? We're just going in with the goal to say, hey, here's some interesting information. Here's something that's going to move you closer to your goals. Some of the people are going to like your page as a result of that. Some of the people are going to click on your website. Obviously, then you're going to be pixeling them for Facebook retargeting later on. You're going to be pixeling them for Google remarketing later on. You're going to be trying to generate a lead from that blog post anyway by giving them some kind of freebie or some kind of call to action. So that's how I go about growing the page. As I said before, people have found that if they post viral stuff or if they post particular videos or whatever, then they can get a nice boost in likes. But if that traffic isn't qualified, it's not only vanity traffic, it's actually not particularly helpful. It can actually damage the cause, because when you go to Facebook and say, hey, Facebook, find me a bunch of people who are like the people who like my page, and build a lookalike audience. Actually, you've got a bunch of people in there who just like cat videos, and you've been posting cat videos, so you're just going to get a bunch of cat video fans liking your page, so that lookalike audience is going to be lower quality. So whilst growing the audience is important, it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is making sure that your audience is really qualified potential buyers. I'd rather have an audience of highly qualified potential buyers that's 1,000 people rather than 10,000 people who just like viral memes, because, you know, as a business owner, I know that I can make more from those highly qualified people than I can from just the general population. So, there's some ways to increase visibility without having to go down the pure look at me viral route.
Okay. You write about humanizing the brand in your book also. What do you mean about that?
Yeah, that's kind of giving the brand an actual personality, particularly for small businesses. I think the tendency is to say we need to appear larger, so we're actually going to remove the personality from our messages. And this happens on the website, it happens on social media. And we work with a lot of startup businesses as well as larger companies, but the startup businesses, even if it's just one person, they will tend to assume that, oh, you know, no picture of me on the website. I don't want to write in first person. Everything has to be, this is about us, you know, we are very, you know, and they want to come across as large. Well, actually, you know, anybody is going to see through that immediately. As soon as you see, you know, it's the telltale signs, isn't it? It's the mobile phone number listed as the business contact or whatever. You know, it's just one person. But that's not necessarily something to hide from. And I think companies at all sizes need to have, even if they don't have one single figurehead person who represents the business, they can certainly have a really clear personality, so that when somebody is following you or when someone is engaging with you, they can tell that it's your company through the tone of voice of the post or the blog or whatever. And I think that's something that tends to get lost, because as I say, the goal is to make us sound big and generic and corporate, whereas actually your audience doesn't like that. They don't care about that. There's a reason that they choose the one-man band or solopreneur rather than an established player, and that's because they get that personality. They get behind the scenes. Like you on your show, you've got a clear personality about it. You know, that even just the look of the podcast picture, it shows that it's like it's fun and it's different and engaging, and there's a big picture of you. That's so much more appealing to people than just something that's generic and faceless, I think. So that's something that's important for social, important for blogging, important for the copy on your site as well. It's really fundamental.
It's awesome. Man, this half hour went by very quickly. You gave a lot of great information, Tim. I'm sure people are going to want to connect with you and learn more. Give us a website or two and how people can connect with you and keep learning from you.
Yeah, the best thing to do is you can search for Exposure Ninja on Facebook or Twitter. And if people have a website that they want us to review and create a digital marketing plan for them, completely free of charge, no obligation, and this is not some software-generated thing. This is an actual plan created by a human, normally created as a 20-minute video showing you how to generate more sales and leads through your website, then they can head over to exposureninja.com/review. It takes about 2 to 3 days to get through to them, but it'll be, as I say, like a 20-minute video showing you how to take advantage of the gaps in your market to generate more leads and sales.
That's awesome. Hey, Tim, thanks very much. It's a pleasure to have you on the program.
No worries, Jim. Pleased to be on. Really enjoyed it, mate.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with digital marketing expert Tim Cameron Kitchen. Remember, Stick Like Glue, it is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio this time next week. Until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever give up. Hey, go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
For more information and free resources on how to create your dream business, connect with Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, at www.getjimpalmer.com. And be sure to check out Dream Business Coach TV, powerful 2-minute videos filled with Jim's unique smart marketing and business building advice. See them all at www.dreambizcoach.tv. That's www.dreambizcoach.tv. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio. And remember, success is not only possible, you deserve success.